open up understanding right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the courage to live out this sermon. Lord, you are creating a new heart in the lives of people, God, and I ask you right now, Lord, to make us a great people, God, a humble people, Lord, a people that our heart is after you. God, if we desire wrong things, Lord, I ask that you change our desires, God. I speak that hedge of protection into the lives of the families that are here today, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, this is a topic that has been on my heart for several days, and a part of the reason why is because I have asked God these same questions so much. So Psalms chapter 13 and verse 1. I'm sorry, I had said Proverbs, but it's Psalms. It is Psalms chapter 13, and we are at verse 1. God is so good. Now here's David, and David asks a question that I have asked myself so many times, and I know that probably y'all have too, but I hear lately I have asked him this so much. And here he says, how long, O Lord? And for the person, and you've said, you know what, I have just asked God repeatedly, how long? How long? And you can fill in the blank. Lord, how long do I got to go through this? How long is this going to last? How long am I going to be sick? How long is things not going to go the way I want them to go? How long is this trial? Lord, how long will you allow this person to do this to me? How long? How long? And I caught myself so many times this past week saying, Lord, how long? How long? And there's something about humanity that when we get in something, and that's why you see little children, when they get in a car, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And here's what I know. If God could come down and look at you in the face and say, Mindy, your trial is going to last for 52 days, 30 minutes, and 3 seconds, it would still last that long. So whether he tells you how long it's going to last or whether you just trust him through the duration, either way, the outcome is the same. So here's David, and he asks, how long, O Lord, how long? Will you forget me forever? You know, there's times where we're going along, and it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 1 month or 50 years. There's just times and there's battles where what you're going through seems like forever. Where it seems like forever. And it's okay to ask God, Lord, how long is this going to last? It's okay. That's not a sin to ask him. But there's a place that you have in Jesus where you just know that no matter what, no matter how long that it lasts, it is ending. It is ending. No storm is going to last forever. No problem is going to last forever. Not unless you choose that. Not unless you choose it. You say, well, I can't help what happened to me. It wasn't any fault of my own. You know what? Here's the deal. In the worst of the worst, you still have a decision, and sometimes the decision is this. God, even though I have found myself in the middle of a battle that I did not create for myself, Lord, no matter what, I am still with you. So here is David, and he says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? And then he says, how long will you hide your face from me? And what he was saying was, I feel like I've been going through what I'm going through too long. And I don't see you, and I can't feel you, so where are you? Have you hidden your face from me? Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 49. Many, many times we are concerned with details about our situation that are irrelevant. They are irrelevant. We are inquisitive. We are curious. We are impatient. We are dramatic. David was all of those things. He said, how long? How long is this? How long have you hidden from me? And here's the deal. What David was really asking was irrelevant. There's that place in God where you realize that the details of what God's going to do in your life, he's doing those no matter what goes on or what doesn't. What God has ordained for your life, there's not one thing that can come against that that's going to make it not happen. Whatever God has ordained for you, that is a for sure thing. So in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14. Thank you, Phyllis. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14. We're going to read. The people of Zion said, "The Lord has turned away and forgotten us." And this was the same thing that David said in the Psalms. He says, "How long will you forget me? How long will you forget?" And here's the people, and they're saying, God has turned away from us, and he has forgotten us. And there are times where you're going through something that's so horrific and so tragic and so mind-boggling that you feel forgotten. And I want to remind you that your feelings are not facts. What you feel is not always a fact. So don't glorify your feelings and don't live off of your feelings, because they can lie to you. And they do all the time. In the moment of a weakness, you could feel like, well, everybody's against me. Look here. Everybody's not against you. You can feel like God has left. God never leaves. He promises in his word, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But your feelings will get you in trouble. And that's why you shouldn't make life choices on your feelings. Because they are feelings and they are not facts. And so they said, the Lord has turned away and forgotten us. And the Lord answered, could a mother forget a child who nurses at her breast? Could she fail to love an infant who came from her own body? Even if a mother could forget, I will never forget you. I will never forget you. God has not forgotten you. He knows exactly what is going on. He knows exactly the moment, the second, the day that he's delivering you from what you're going through. He knows it. So don't allow the devil to come in and make you feel like God has forgotten you, because God has not forgotten you. And he has not forgotten what you're going through. And he says here, I love this about God, because this next part tells us just how close that we are to him. It says, a picture of your city is drawn on my hand, and you are always in my thoughts. Another translation says, you're engraved on the palms of my hands. This is talking about God. Talking about God. What does that mean? You're on the palm of his hand. You're on the palm of his hand. I'm going to finish this up. You are always, y'all say always. You are always in my thoughts. You're always in my thoughts. Always. The other day I said, Lord, how much longer will you allow this person to speak evil? How much longer? How many of you got any haters? I don't have a lot, but I've got about two. And I begin to say, Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? God, I've done everything I could do. God says, as long as it takes. As long as it takes. As long as it takes what? You to grow in this situation. you to grow. God has started something inside of you, and He is going to make sure that you grow. And in the process of growth, many, many times we go through things. We feel like God has forgotten. We wonder where He is. We wonder what He's doing. We wonder how long we're going to go through what we're going through. If you have enemies, I can tell you this right here. The enemies that I have, God has placed in my life. The enemies I have, God has placed them in my life. Why? To help me. To help me. If you think growing is comfortable, you're wrong. It ain't comfortable. It's not pleasant. But it produces something that we could never get any other way. And he says, I love this part. Your city will be built faster than it was destroyed. Your city will be built faster than it was destroyed. And there's times where you feel like you're being crushed, you're being smashed, there's too much. God, why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting that happen? And we feel like we're being unraveled from one end and while we're trying to ravel the other end. And here's what I can tell you. God is such an amazing God that whatever needs to be rebuilt in your life, God will build it faster than it was destroyed. If someone's talking bad about you, and that's one person, God will put 10 people, and He'll have them to talk good of you. I believe God wants to talk to people about their enemies also this morning. I'm going to keep this very real because that's my specialty, and that's why God's got me in Paris, Arkansas. Because I will keep it real. People are like, oh my gosh, has that cheese gotten off her cracker? Did it slide off? No, you know what? My cheese is smack dab right in the middle of that cracker. It's never been better. Now, if you want to pray for something about me, pray for my tooth. It hurts. But as far as the cheese on my cracker, we're good. Amen? How many of you got some people you don't like or and they don't like you? Raise your hand. We're going to be honest up in here this morning. Okay. Those of you with the hands down, you probably do have people that don't like you. They just don't have the guts to tell it to your face. That's truth, ain't it, Jimmy? I found myself this week and I said, God, I'm doing everything I know about to do. Why are you allowing these people? Why are you allowing this? I'm going to keep it real, real. It's going to make me look bad, as real as I'm fixing to be. But it's going to help you. I said, God, I want them to suffer. How many of you ever thought, I want them to suffer?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, let's get down to where we all live. When somebody does something mean to you and they hurt you and they hurt your family, it's a natural response to say, I want that person to suffer. S-U-F-F-E-R. And not a little bit of suffering, Lord. I want you to make them really suffer. That's right, Phyllis. Suffer. And God told me something, and I'm going to tell it to you today. He said, Kelly, they already are. They already are. They already are. So let's shift this prayer. See, I said, this is what we think naturally. We want them to suffer. And see, here's the deal. When you're a child of God, God doesn't want you to just be natural. He's calling you to actually level up. And here's natural. We think these natural thoughts, and what God really, really wants from His kids is He wants you to come up above natural, and He wants you to have a supernatural life. And in order to do that, He wants you to think in a supernatural way. And He said, Kelly, that your enemy right now is hurting in many, many ways, and that is why they are hurting you. That is why they are doing the things that they are doing to you. And what I've got them positioned is they right now, they are touching the anointing on your life. They're not touching you, Kelly. They're touching the God inside of you, and let him do it, because that is right there is exactly what I need. You know, there's certain things that God needs to be able to bring people and to draw them into correction so they can miss hell. Now, you may not like that, but I got news for you. When you draw your last breath, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell, and there is not an in-between. There's two options for you. People don't even like to say, pastors don't, don't say the word heaven or hell, because it gets people all upset. They think that you're giving them an ultimatum. Well, I am. That is your ultimatum. Go with me back to Psalms chapter 13 and verse 2. He promises to build us back quicker than we were even destroyed. Psalms 13, verse 2. Here's David once again. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? How many of you wrestle with your thoughts? I think things, and I know I'm not thinking right, but I'm thinking fleshly, and that gives me some sort of gratification, so I keep doing it. And then I wrestle with my thoughts, because at the end of the day, I really want to please God, but these mean thoughts that I'm having is pleasing me and pleasing my flesh, so I like to have them more than I like to have godly thoughts at times. Just really depends on the subject. So here he is, and he says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? I'm going to give you some golden nuggets. Quit replaying what people did to you. I cannot stress that enough to you. Stop replaying that in your mind, what they did, or what you think that they did, because many times it's not exactly what you really think that they did. When you replay the hurt, all you're doing is you're picking at that wound, and it can never heal. And God began to talk to me about my enemy this week, and he said, Kelly, you're dealing with a hurt person. This person is hurting. And I said, good, I want him to suffer even more. I'm going to keep this real. Don't not sit up here and think Pastor Kelly ain't got no problems. I probably got more problems than all of y'all put together. Why? Because God put me up in charge. That's why. You know how much the devil loves getting leaders off track and getting them off in left field? He loves that. Your best bet is for me to get up here and just keep it real with you. He said, Kelly, shift those prayers and begin to ask me to turn your hurting enemy into a healed enemy. And I began to pray, God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you'd heal this person emotionally. God, this person is off. They're not right. Lord, I don't know how they've gotten to the place they are, but God, I don't know I don't have to know. But God, right now, I ask that you'd bless them, but God, bless them in a specific way. Lord, every place that they hurt in their emotions, in their little psyche, in their mind, God, I ask that you'd heal that person. See, God, there's prayers that he'll answer and there's prayers that he won't. And God, kill him, he ain't going to answer that. God, help him. Yes, he will answer that. Lord, heal them. Yes, he will answer that. And I have news for you. God loves your enemy just as much as he loves you. He loves him just as much. And he has to try to balance the two of you, because he loves you both the same. The same. Don't replay the things that your enemy did to you. Don't replay what they said. Don't replay how it went. Some of you know exactly what they were wearing when they did it. Some of you don't know what you ate yesterday for lunch, but you know what they did 30 years ago. Let it go. Some of you're mad at them, and you've forgotten even why you're mad at them. You're not sure, but you're going to hold that grudge. Church is a place that you go to get better and stay better. It's not somewhere you come in and just act like everything's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. We're all fine. We're all screwed up in our own little way. And if you don't like that kind of preaching, you can go to somebody else and they're going to get that violin. They're going to get the same people saved every Sunday. I ain't into that. Because you know what I call that? Theatrics. I want everybody in the place to make it to heaven. How are you going to do that? Keep it real with yourself. Keep it real with yourself and keep it real with God. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 12 through 18. David said, how long do I got to wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? God, how long are you going to let people do this? How long am I going to hurt over what they did? These were legitimate questions that David asked back then. And some of us, I guarantee you, even this week, we've asked those questions just this week. How many of you have asked God this question, how long this week? We ask him, how long are we going through this? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're sitting here and we're thinking we're wrestling with a person. Well, you ain't wrestling with a person. Well, I don't like that person. No, you don't like the what's going on inside of them. See, you got God inside of you. I don't know what they got inside of them. Can two Christians clash? Absolutely. Most of the time because of pride. Sometimes your enemy just doesn't like the God inside of you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but here's what you do wrestle against. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. You know how much spiritual wickedness goes on? Let's talk about spiritual wickedness. Here is spiritual wickedness. People have been raised up. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They've gotten too worldly. They've compromised one too many times. They come in here, the church, the pastor will say something, you know, one of the hot topics, we'll say something, people get offended, they get their feelers hurt, oh, pastor talked about homosexuality, they talked about abortion, they talked about blah, blah, blah. None of those are unforgivable, might I add.
Amen.
Well, God will accept it because we are in a new day and we're in a new age and God accepts this stuff now. There's things God's never accepting. You know how many times I've had people just hear lately Jimmy talk about me because I stand up for what the Word of God says? A lot. She's just mean. She don't understand. Look here, I get a lot of stuff people don't think I get. Why? Because I've lived them and I've done them. Spiritual wickedness, thank you. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Some of us are beat up in a spiritual way because we have failed to take this up. And this is serious. This is not just something you learn in Sunday school and they get you all the little pieces to the armor of God. No, you need to put this on every day. And it says here, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. With truth. Nobody likes truth anymore. You know how many people get mad because truth is spoken? Lots of people. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, you're either righteous or you're wicked, but you're not both. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, we go around in our daily living, and there's little fiery darts that come at us all the time. And when they get in, it's because we don't have the armor of God on. They're able to get in. Somebody will say something to you that you don't like. It'll just ruin your whole day. Somebody will look at you in a way that you don't like. You'll get on Facebook, and you'll get offended just like that. You know what? Get off of that stuff. If you're offended every time you get on Facebook, that's God's sign. Get off of it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to stand to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. I'll tell you a cute story. Coco, I don't even know how you get kids like him. I really don't. I'm just thankful that I'm his mama. That kid is such a blessing to me. Carson is too. I don't want to hear your nonsense. If you think I'm mean to one of my kids, you should live with me because I spoil them both rotten. They're both the same. But you know what? Your kids are different. How many of you got more than one kid? How many of you can say, them kids, they different to the max? I was giving Coco a lecture on the way home, and I was talking to him, you know, your kids, you need to talk to them about what's going on in your life. And I was telling him, Coco, Mama's had a problem with her enemies this week, and God's trying to teach me something. And I told him, I said, you know what? Sometimes we're mad at people that are mean to us when really we should just pray for them. And I just began to talk to him. This little kid's deep. He was looking out the window, looking at the deer, looking at the nature. He goes, Mama, you know what's wrong with people? I said, I'd love to know. It's a question of the ages. He said, us Christians, we ain't putting on the helmet of salvation, and that's costing us. Your salvation is everything to you. What is salvation? Your relationship with Jesus. We say, man, I got a wicked enemy. Look here, I get it. I got people wanting to talk about me. I don't even know them. Heck, some people don't even like me because I'm a woman preacher. You know what? They're going to have to get over that. Thank you. Your salvation is everything. Because on the worst day, when you feel like you have nothing, that's what you have. You've got you and you've got God and you've got that relationship with Him. And He loves you. There ain't nothing He ain't going to do for you. If you're struggling right now in your life and you're having trouble with somebody, let me tell you something. God's wanting you to change up your game because there's a place, even in the middle of a storm, that you will have perfect peace. Even when you deal with difficult people. Even when you deal with people that want to accuse you and you're innocent and they're wrong. The helmet of salvation, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Look here, you're not wrestling against the person. And if you've been trying to, that's why you're exhausted. Because at times, people can be exhausting. Quit thinking that you're fighting them because you're not. There's something deeper in there that's going on. Ask God, Lord, where is my place with this person? You know, if you believe that God put that enemy in your life, you have to also believe that He put you in theirs, whether they like it or not. I was dropping my kids off at the school, and I'm bad. Thank God I'm a pastor. I was dropping my kids off at school. I don't know. It seems like that's a longer process than it was last year. Tanya, here comes my enemies, and they're walking their kids. And my crazy self, this is awful, but this is so truthful. I'm going to preach where we live. I got on my sunglasses. Like that's going to make me real discreet. I got out these sunglasses and I thought, I don't even want them to see that I'm looking at them, but I just want to see how horrible they look. I don't know, it probably was. I got them sunglasses on and I thought, I'm not even going to look in their direction. Gosh, I'm peeved at this person. It was raining. There was no need for sunglasses. And God said, no, Kelly, look at them. Look at them. Look at them, Kelly. All right. I'm a brat and a half. Bad. I started looking at him. God said, what do you see? I said, God, they're just miserable. They're miserable. God began to tell me how bad that person is hurting. So you think that you're hurting because of what they did. Imagine being them. Imagine being that person that done that to you. As much as you can stomach it. And then when you feel like you can't stomach it, you better make yourself, because you know what? Your blessing depends on this. The Word of God says, I'll bless those that curse you. Make yourself come into line with the Word of God. Make yourself be compassionate towards them, because your enemy that you think is getting away with whatever they did, they didn't get away with anything, and they're probably very miserable. There's too many believers, and we're praying, Lord, let them suffer. And look here, folks, I love you guys with all of my heart. Here's what I can tell you as your pastor. They already are suffering. They already are. Does that mean anything to you? People are fickle. We want to see them suffer because we want an outward appearance that, oh, they got what was coming to them. They got theirs. Man, if you could look up into their heart and their soul, you'd see the suffering. We should want to see our enemy thriving and blessed. Because until that, look here, when God says, I'm going to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies, look here, you can dodge them at Walmart, you can dodge them at the school line, you can dodge them however you want to dodge them, but at the end of the day, you have got to be in the presence of your enemies at some point in time. Why? Because it's biblical. How can he prepare a table for you in their presence when you won't come up to the table? God loves you. He knows what they did, and he knows what you thought. I'm going to say that again. He knows what they did, and he knows what you thought. Most of us were wrong somewhere in that statement. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verse 16 through 19. I'm going to give you some tips. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. That's talking about you. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Most of the time, it's their own calamity. Verse 17. For the next 7 days, you need to live this part of the sermon out, and it's going to make you better. It's going to bring blessing into your life. This is why you came this morning. This verse right here. If you're struggling, do not gloat. What does that mean? Be happy, brag about it, love it. When your enemy falls, do not. Do not. I heard something was going on with my enemy this weekend. I grinned from ear to ear till the Lord got a hold of me. Sometimes I'm mad because I say, God, you've made me a pastor. Now I can't confront anybody, I feel like. I just got to sit here and take this on the chin, and how long are you going to make me sit here and suffer in it? Nobody's getting away with anything. God said, Kelly, get that smile off of your face. Go to praying. Put yourself in their shoes, and you pray like you were praying for yourself. Can you put yourself in the place of your enemy, and can you pray for them that fervently? That's what it takes to be a successful person. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. Why? Let me tell you, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Don't get too happy about that, because next week that could be you. You keep it up. Verse 18, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him. Verse 19, here's another nugget. What did we just read? Don't be happy when the bad stuff happens to your enemy. You should be praying for your enemy. Verse 19, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of the wicked. If you're worrying about your enemy, stop worrying about them. Oh, well, what are they going to do to me? Look here. They're not doing squat to you in the big picture. I was telling Frank, do you think that what this person is saying is going to hurt the ministry? Kelly, so many people talk good about you. One person ain't doing nothing to you. Amen. We magnify the problems and we minimize the blessing. That should not be. God has blessed you. God has kept you. He promises when a man's ways, what am I preaching to you about today? Your ways, because there's a promise. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies, even the people that don't like him, be at peace with him. I believe in the heart of people that are struggling with this today, what you really want is you just want peace in your life. I told my husband, I said, I don't want to be in their life no more than they want me in their life. But what I want is my name off of their mouth. And God reminded me of Daniel in the den with the lions. And God sent an angel to shut the lion's mouth all night long. And let me tell you something, if God can do it for Daniel, he can do it for you. There's things that we've got to sharpen up our pencil, because we are handling our enemies probably in a natural way. And God's asking us, will you step up today? Will you step up? Don't be happy when you hear that they're suffering. Figure out how you can help them. Figure out how you can help them. Why? Because they need all the help they can get. They need some of the anointing that's on your life to overflow and touch their life. Y'all stand to your feet this morning. I love y'all so much. Absolutely love y'all. Y'all are the best people I know. Remember, there is no church service tonight. There is no senior citizen meal tomorrow. I hope y'all have the best Labor Day. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for all of your kids that's been in service with us. Lord, I ask right now that you'd help us to live this sermon out. God, everything that we walked in here concerned about, God, I know that you've already started working on it. So, Lord, we thank you for it right now. I speak that hedge of protection over every person that's here. In Jesus' name, amen.